And it's New York.
New York, everybody. And we're back.
My brain. Okay, hi.
Rachel is drinking. She's busy. She's not doing the podcast.
It's sweet tea. No, first of all, you just said drinking.
I'm drinking whiskey.
Yeah, I'm chugging whiskey over
on
here.
On a Tuesday night, baby.
It's apparently good for your voice.
I'm sorry, I haven't been introduced yet.
Oh, sorry, yes. Actually, Rachel, why don't you introduce our guest?
Much like on our own podcast, we just have guests that we don't introduce till they've already spoken.
A lot of podcasts are like that, actually.
It's very much ours. Our guest today is none other than my Hard Bodies co-host, Hannah Blackman.
Hello.
Which, we've done that multiple times where our guest just pipes in with a comment. We're like, oh, right, this is our guest, and then say their name.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I've never been a guest on a podcast, so this is very nice.
You broke your guest podcast cherry.
Yeah, I'm really flattered and to talk about a movie that used to mean a lot to me.
And then you rewatched it and went, oh,
that seems to be a theme on many of our guests. I watch this all the time, and now it's crap.
Yeah, I think I always knew it was crap, but...
No, I think when you're a kid, you just enjoy watching things for the sake of watching them, and you don't realize that they're not aesthetically pleasing.
I know exactly why I watch. Yeah, it does.
Purple Rain holds up.
I know exactly why I watched 2006 Firewall as a kid a lot, because I, like, loved Paul Bettany and was like, he's good in this movie.
So are you going to like Vision now? Because Vision looks
like
Paul
Vision
Bettany.
I like Vision fine.
But now he looks like Paul Bettany.
He's Paul Bettany. He's always been Paul Bettany.
No, like in Infinity War, he looks like Paul Bettany. Yeah,
stuff.
Like he looks like Paul Bettany.
We don't know
the context of that shot. She's talking about the actor. So I'm saying, no matter what, it is Paul Bettany.
No, but I'm saying, like, he now actually looks like I'm looking at Paul Bettany and not, like...
As opposed to his voice.
No. Right? He was red. He was a red sentient being.
But he also has Paul Bettany's face.
Face.
To clarify, I liked him when he was just a voice in those movies.
Jarvis?
Yeah, I was like, the best. What a babe. Because he's got that real cute British voice. But we're not here to talk about Paul Bettany.
Kind of.
He is in the movie.
He is.
I mean, we've had episodes where we just talk about the co-star for like 20 minutes.
Sometimes I just bring up actors who are not even
that's
in this
true.
Movie.
That sounds like you.
Too. That has happened a lot. So everybody, I'm sorry that we were away, but aren't you glad that you're
aren't
listening
you glad
to us
I didn't say orange or banana? What a
focus. Orange, you glad wow. I didn't say that.
Orange, you, there it is.
So Rachel, why don't you tell everybody the information about Firewall, which is from 2006, so people have forgotten where we are in the canon of Harrison Ford.
You use a paper and give knowledge. Because I was like, you said, tell them about Firewall. I was like, I know not even the plot of this movie.
It's okay. I don't think the movie knows the plot of the movie.
No, I just thought you wanted me to talk like off of my noggin.
No,
and I was like, that's
a name I can't pronounce.
Bad idea.
You know I do that when I can't pronounce names. I just go, Rachel, please read them.
Directed by Richard Longcrane, I would say, which... Your notes, like, I recognize what you're saying here, because he directed Richard III. I read
what?
Starring and thought to
right?
myself.
Is that crazy?
Yes.
If people don't realize, it's the 1930s version with Ian McKellen.
It's like set in the 30s. It was made in like the early 90s.
Yes. It's really
with
good.
With drugged out RDJ.
Yup.
But what's funny about this is I didn't recognize that you were saying that these people were in Richard III. So I was like, where did I miss Robert Downey Jr. in Firewall? Like, I was like, that was like
Rachel?
When he was like not Iron Man yet and not back from his I'm now like
sleeping in other people's beds, waking up, going to rehab.
Yeah, like he's like, yeah, he was like, it was in between those two phases of his life and was very confused.
Rachel, I don't know how to tell you, but he was the Firewall.
Yeah,
Robert
did you miss that?
Downey Jr. Is like, he's Jarvis. They switch places in this movie. Remember Joe Forte, which Hannah, please say your joke.
Oh, his forte is not writing movies.
There we go. His character's name is Jack.
How many Jacks has he played? Like 700?
We talked about this before. I forget how many. It was actually one of our trivia questions for his birthday special, and I don't remember.
No, he does that play.
Is it like, I just should have written it down. Is it like five, maybe?
I don't know. I forgot he plays a lot of Jacks.
Everyone's screaming at us right now.
I think that Jack is just
if you're
one of those,
screaming
like,
in public, first of all, check yourself.
Maybe they're not listening in public. Maybe they're
maybe they're at home in the shower.
There's seven.
No, but again, Jack is like Jack. It's a very like Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
Jack.
It's a real like American plain Jane. Like I'm just a guy name, which is why like everybody is named Jack.
And his job
Jack
is
Benjamin,
chief of
Jack
security.
Bauer.
Oh yeah.
Very on brand for both Hannah and I.
Yep.
And on brand for the movie, because one of the actors... I'm just trying. I'm sorry.
No, you did it. No, you're doing it.
You did it. It was just like a moment where I was like, one person is going to get that reference.
One thing you should know about me is that I love Kiefer Sutherland, maybe more than is appropriate at this point in my life, and I'm currently watching 24.
Which I just want to put on this podcast as well. When Hannah started to go through her Kiefer Sutherland phase, I kept saying, you should watch 24, it's a really good show. And she kept going, I don't know, I don't think I like that Kiefer. I don't think I like that Kiefer. And then now she's
I don't
want to
get into
24.
A whole thing right now, but I thought he was too old for me to be hot for him in that show.
No.
But it started early enough that he's still pretty young. And then I'm just going to watch him age. Because I started watching Designated Survivor, and I was like, he's too old for me in this show. It's
hard. He's like 50, yeah.
He is like 50 these days. But when 24 started, he was only like 35. Mm-hmm. Though he looks 40, because he's lived a hard life.
Also,
anyway.
Yeah, so we got Jack Bauer. We have Jack Benjamin from the show I'm binging called Kings that has one season, 13 episodes, was canceled.
Can I say, I'm so happy you found Kings. Kings was so good. I was so sad.
So
well, when we did our Sebastian Stan episode, we like pointed, like halfway through the episode, Leah and I looked at each other and went, oh, cool. We've both seen half of his career. And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, I've seen all these movies. She goes, yeah, I've seen all the TV. I'm like, great. Completely, we've seen this man's entire filmography, but not together.
So I want to make note that if anyone remembers our last episode, I'm really good at the segues.
No, this is good. Really you got to keep us on track.
I've had a day, so this is just my brain on a
do your transition.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, and back. So, Hollywood Homicide was the last movie that we did.
Oh, what a fun movie.
It was 2003, and it was the first movie Yes, we did, I know. So, 2003, and that was the first movie, really kind of the first movie that Harrison did under actually having an agent with, like, a big company. And then didn't do a movie again that came out until 2006.
Oh, my God.
Kind of crazy. But something I found that was really interesting, because we've talked about movies that he didn't do, then in March 2004, which we talked about before, he became chairman of the Young Eagles program with the Experimental Aircraft Association, which we have...
Oh, Harrison and Planes.
Not a good combo. Wow, we pause.
Rachel.
There it is. Okay, so this is what I found interesting. So in 2005, Harrison Ford was supposed to star in a Civil War thriller called Manhunt.
Uh-huh.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, which he would portray a war hero, Colonel Everton Conger. It's based on a book, who led the search for Abraham Lincoln's assassin.
John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
They shot him in a barn.
They did. And then,
I know a lot about
history. And then Dr. Mudd, right?
Yeah.
That's why they say his name is Mudd.
That's like one of those, though, like, I feel like that history story is one, like, if you don't know that, like,
well, it's
John
really
Lewis
interesting.
Was shot in a barn.
Right. Well, not everyone knows how it ended. They know that he shot the president and then jumped onto the stage like a dramatic bitch and broke his leg.
Of course, his whole family.
And just, like, ruined everything for everybody.
Maybe
and
I
then,
know
like,
that.
Ran out onto a horse, rode into Maryland, I think, to visit Dr. Mudd, who set his leg, and then said, I didn't know who it was!
We don't care, you're dead.
They hung him anyway, or sent him to prison, at least. And then eventually they shot John Wilkes Booth in a barn, and Harrison could have done that.
It would have been awesome.
But then Adam Scott
did it.
Did
that movie get made?
No, that's not all.
Then it became Drunk History, and Adam Scott did it. He was John Wilkes Booth.
But this is sort of crazy, because, like, if you forget, or if you know a lot, like I always forget sometimes too, is it takes so long to get a movie made sometimes, and then it just never happens. And so this sort of kind of cracked me up. So where was I? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. So it's, the first thing was in... Wait, where am I? Ha, ha, ha. This is because all my notes I made in...
September.
2020. In the future. No, we made this like 6 months ago.
God, that was like 6 months.
It was 6 months ago, guys. It was crazy. So the screenplay was going to be penned by Mike Rich, who did The Rookie and Finding Forrester.
Oh.
The Rookie with Dennis Quaid?
Yeah.
Finding Forrester with Sean Connery?
I love The Rookie.
And, it, like, HBO was really interested, and they, like, were all set, and he was, like, attached to Star. And then in 2005, Variety was like, yeah, he's going to do it. He started growing a goatee in 2006.
What is he?
He was doing press for Firewall. So, like, he started talking about it before he did Firewall.
Oh.
And then the book came out, and they were going to have Johnny Depp as Booth.
Oh.
All this, but the crazy thing is that, like, this was all supposed to happen. And then HBO bought it for a miniseries, and throughout the entire script...
And then they didn't even make the miniseries?
Harrison Ford then was no longer attached because I bet it became something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then by 2009, the Robert Redford movie, The Conspirator, was going to come out.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie about something different, but so okay. Close.
Then in 2008, I found another article that said that Tom Fontana, who did Homicide, was looking to go back and do this miniseries at HBO.
Oh, my God.
In 2008, there was another Booth miniseries at HBO. So, like, it's still
not happening.
And then
2011, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter came out.
And we didn't need it.
And we didn't need anything about John Wilkes Booth.
I would be fascinated by this Manhunt miniseries. And HBO, if you're listening, get it made. Let's do it.
And home I don't box care office?
If Harrison is also in it as the world's oldest man, that's fine. I'm used to it.
He'd come. He'd be dressed in a pair of jeans.
He'd be like 90, I think.
Great. Right?
Or like 93. Like, I didn't do research on this for his birthday, and I forgot all of it.
I don't know. My grandpa was like 92. He would have known.
My grandmother's turning 100 in 2 months. She old as hell. So Harrison can do it. I love her. So he just was waiting for Manhunt to get made for 3 years, and in the meantime was like, I guess I'll film Firewall on a weekend. Or like, no, what do we think happens?
It happens a lot with actors where you have all these sort of projects going. I think he just didn't, I bet that he didn't like anything that the agency was like presenting in front of him, because the first movie that he did was Hollywood Homicide.
Yeah, and that didn't pan out well for him.
He was
doing
so much better before he actually signed with an agent, when he just had Pat McQueenie, who was his manager. Now he's working with both of them, but I think that now that he's with this like big, you know, name agency, they're making horrible choices for him. Because he's not going to read every script. He only wants to read the scripts that they decide to give to him.
Yeah.
Or pitch to him. I think there some actress who they had been claiming that she turned down Titanic, and she's like, I never even got the offer. I forget who it was.
The studio system.
Oh, man.
Hollywood.
Holly weird, am I right?
Am I right? Hollyweed.
Another fun fact. This is the
Hollywoo.
This is the only movie of Harrison Ford's that has a riff track.
Oh, that's what that says. I thought that said riff rack. And I was like, oh, was
that's
he
how
in...
they spell it.
No, but I was like, was he in Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Oh, are you okay? Do we need to do this another time?
Want to do your summary for everybody?
Oh, Jesus.
Can you
Christ.
Do it?
It's going to
be... We'll fill stuff in.
Can
just
I help?
Make it short.
Yeah, we'll...
Oh, yeah. Tag team. You guys do
good. Okay.
This will be a little preview for everyone who doesn't listen to Hard Bodies.
Of
the chemistry
what we
you guys
do?
Have.
I yell at Rachel and she goes, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But remember, short.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Harrison Ford, surprisingly, is good at computers, and he is part of a company that, like, has all this information, and these bad guys, Paul Bettany and friends.
Nikolaj Coster-Waldau, in the second movie,
also
playing
known as,
Paul Bettany's best friend.
Also known as Jamie Lannister, who fucks his sister, is like, hey guys, what up? We're gonna, like, break in your house, keep you hostage, and you're gonna give us this money that you know how to do with computers. Because that makes sense. Harrison Ford, who's never touched a computer in his life.
Right.
So
they hold his family hostage and make him do some computer stuff.
But then they separate them, and they're like, Harrison Ford, you're old, but you get to sleep on a couch. Rest of your family is up in this bed, which ends up being a bad thing as they try and escape with the little boy who played young James T. Kirk in the 2009 Star Trek. Then, so the whole movie is them being like, I'm not gonna do it. We're hostage. Time to go to school.
Wait, did you even talk about them getting kidnapped?
We said they get kidnapped.
Paul Bettany shows up at their house with a bunch of goons and he holds them all hostage.
There you go. Okay.
They try and kill the kid at one point with
peanut
butter.
In the best scene in the movie.
Yeah. Paul Bettany's like, hey, bro, what's up? He's trying to like be nice to this kid. And then
it's the best.
You want this? And he goes, is there peanuts in it? And he said, no, there are.
No, wait. You're not doing this scene any justice.
It's fine. You do this scene.
This is the one scene in this movie that is genuinely astounding.
Shouldn't we wait to discuss the scene, though?
Okay.
It's just the summary.
Fine.
Right, sorry.
Whatever.
We'll
kid almost dies,
so
doesn't
like
die.
To on this scene as well.
Kid almost dies, doesn't die. They, like, go through this whole battle. In the end, he doesn't transfer the... Like, none of it...
They have changed the security system while he was not in the office. So when he gets in to do the thing that Paul Bettany wants him to do, he cannot physically do it. And Paul Bettany is like, well, you better figure it out or I'm going to kill your family. And things start to unravel. So Harrison Ford pulls his wits together and loops in his secretary, that girl from 24.
Oh!
Yes.
That girl from 24.
Yeah.
Chloe. Not Chloe.
Yes.
Yeah, Chloe. Chloe.
That's literally the same reaction I had when I figured out that's what you're talking
about. Yeah, she has like a big bump in her hair and she's like, what, Jack? Oh no. Like she's doing
we
similar
know that
things.
She is, you know, hip and cool because of the stickers on her computer and her hair.
Yeah. So Harrison is like, I need help from somebody who like, I think he's been fired or something from his job. And that's why there's some like issue. Is that true? Anyway, he needs someone. No, he fires her.
He fires her.
And then he's like, I need your help. And he straight up accosts her, kidnaps her. And then they like use her computer to find his family again.
Doesn't he have like a pen?
Oh yeah, he's the pen camera that he walks around with.
Gives him that. Bettany.
Right, to watch
his. And he hugs her and he puts it in her thing so then he can run and do this thing. And then Paul Bettany, like, then the mistake comes when like the girl walks back in and Harrison Ford's like in the camera and Paul Bettany's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I saw you.
I do not remember. There's something that happens where like his family escapes and they kill Nicolaj Coster-Waldau at some point. And then Paul Bettany takes like the son and the wife and he's like, I'm going to go out to the desert and kill them because you didn't do what I wanted you to do.
Which is the best scene in the whole
movie. They're in the car and then Harrison Ford's behind them. They're in like they're in the desert, but it's like a weird cabin. Right. With, like, a lake area.
And then they find the dog, and then the dog, like helps them find the, like,
because the dog has a chip, and they use Chloe from 24's computer to follow the dog's tracking chip, and then they eventually find this cabin with Paul Bettany and the wife and the kids.
And Harrison alone helps and kills the Paul Bettany, right?
With a pickaxe.
Oh, yeah. It's, like,
which
horrible.
Is surprisingly brutal. For a movie that's stupid.
Computer guy.
Yeah. That fight is like old man Harrison Ford having a hard time and young dweeb Paul Bettany who's like, I've like, never been in a fight.
I actually have a quote from Paul Bettany.
Limbs.
Oh my God.
Limbs,
oh my God.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I want to hear it.
No, go ahead.
But this that's is it. Relevant. That's the end of the movie. I mean,
Harrison sort of has his own genre. He's brilliant at what he does. Bettany?
I'm sorry.
Bettany says, there were times I would hit that man's stomach and he would say to me, can you just land it a bit so I can feel it and react to it?
Showing Harrison Ford cannot act. He's like, legitimately hit me, so then I feel pain. And
not an actor.
Until I just wound up one and let loose on him, and he finally went, that's it. It was the most humiliating day of my life.
Oh,
I love
Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany is A, just limbs.
He's gangly.
Limb. I'm sidetracking for a second, because what else are we going to talk about? The plot of this movie is bonkers.
I have a second one, too.
Do that, and then I'll say my story.
When asked again, he said, it was great, but I wouldn't want to tumble with him. This is about working with Harrison in real life, because he's a tough son of a bitch. I threw that man through a window 7 times, and every time he landed on his head, got up, and got thrown through it again.
That sounds insane that they allowed Harrison Ford to do any of his own stuff.
I know. And most of the quotes that I find is like, Paul Bettany's like, I love Harrison Ford. He's the best. He's my best friend.
I have nothing further to say. I'm not allowed to by law. Oh, God, Harrison. Oh, no. What are you doing in my house?
My favorite Paul Bettany moment ever is, so, as I said, Paul Bettany is literally limbs. So during, I think,
tall,
I guess
is he?
He's got to be 6'4". Right?
Because this story will prove like this man is a giant. So they're doing, I guess it was during like Civil War or whatever. They were playing a musical like Beer on Fallon, and so it was like Renner, Bettany, Sebastian Stan, Elizabeth Olsen, and then Fallon. And so they had to go around, and when the music stopped, they had to drink the beer and put it back down. The first out, the longest limbs out of that whole group was Paul Bettany, and Elizabeth Olsen just straight up goes, How?
He you didn't want to play. Than...
No, he didn't. He got really competitive and was pissed when he didn't win. And she was like,
actors are competitive people.
But she just goes, you literally could have like reached around people to get it. She goes, and you didn't. I was like, fair. Like, Paul Bettany.
He's also a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah, well, then it ended up that round was lost because Sebastian Stan accidentally drank it before the music stopped. And then Jimmy Fallon had to drink the cup that Sebastian Stan had spit his beer back into.
Oh,
wow.
I love that whole
bit. Paul Bettany also in the new Han Solo movie.
Oh.
Unfortunately replaced an actor of color. But I don't think it's anyone's fault. It's more like, we needed to replace this actor because we ran out of time because of the reshoots.
So it can't be that big of a part. If they had to reshoot the whole thing.
I don't know. They're reshooting almost the entire movie. Have you not heard this?
I honestly haven't kept up with it because I don't care.
I don't have a podcast on Harrison Ford.
It's true.
No. As someone who has a podcast on Harrison Ford, I don't care because I fuck that movie.
When it comes out, I'll see
Twitter.
It.
But... I have to see this shit all the time.
Me too. I don't know. I literally, like, there's no movie I want less. Like,
no,
I want
it.
Here's the movie I want.
Going around on
and I've
no,
said it,
you
and
don't
I'm going
to pitch
do
your
it.
Star Wars
I want my Star Wars movie.
If anything, we're going to go on a rant on Kenneth Branagh movies. Because Hannah is here.
That's fine, but I just want... Hannah likes this, what I'm about to say, too, because it's Luke Skywalker. Right,
but at the end.
Yeah, but you're part of it. I don't care about it.
I want a middle-aged... Well, he's not middle-aged. He's 35. I want Luke Skywalker after Return of the Jedi when he's building the Jedi Temple.
Oh.
I want it Seb Stan, and I want him on that island by himself.
Well, that's how that movie ends.
I believe that.
That's what I want. Or like
Pitching ends when like Ben Solo comes to school. That's when that movie ends.
Or give me some kind of the extended universe and give me like him and Mara Jade. Like let Luke Skywalker have like
that,
a fling and then be by himself.
I don't want anything but sad space virgin Luke Skywalker.
Which you know that's my favorite kind of Luke Skywalker. Same. But also,
if there's one thing he understands about the Jedi, it's that I guess they didn't have sex. Like. And I don't want to go off on a tangent. I really don't. But the one thing.
I've seen her face was so funny. I don't want to do that.
Hannah and I have had this conversation many times.
Luke Skywalker don't know shit about the Jedi at the end of Return of the Jedi. And like, he ends that movie, like his Force ghosts are like, we did it. Bye. And he's like, wait, I honestly don't. I don't understand. I've spent 3 years like. Tooling around trying to learn, and most of what I learned is that you guys fucked up real bad and none of you had sex. Is that the whole deal? I needed instruction. Like, he don't know shit about being a Jedi.
That's
what
like
he knows is not like helpful.
Yeah, and then that's like
he made it up as he went
my
along.
Character list of characters who don't
up,
fuck
so
he did
he's
my
on-
good sweet boy
on the path to being the Jedi.
And then he was like, oh, what else do I know about Jedi? When things go wrong, they run away. Like,
and they go crazy.
And they live alone in isolation.
Or they're dramatic
as
shit.
I'm really going to get into this. I mean, the emotional, pain that he must have gone through of doing this, but not only being his best friend's kid and his nephew and the people that he loved, like letting them down, letting Leia down, letting Han down. Like, that's emotional turmoil. That's beautiful. I wish we'd seen more of that. I wanted more flashbacks.
But
sure, yeah.
Sure, but also, just dramatic bitch Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, my number one dude, and I love him forever.
That's
his deal.
Like, you guys don't, like, or you understand, but, like, I'm telling you guys, like, listeners, you don't understand how much I love dramatic-ass Luke Skywalker. So when he showed up at the end of, spoilers for The Last Jedi, it's been 2 months, when he shows up at the end of The Last Jedi, fight Kylo Ren, and people were like, oh my god, he's there. I'm like, A, if he's there, that bitch went and got his hair cut.
Hell yeah.
So he like showed him and was like, before I come,
see,
I need to.
I believe that though.
I did too.
I was totally in.
That's what got me was I was like, he either went and was like, before I do this, I need to cut my hair.
The dying of the hair was a little weird. And I have to say, at first I thought it was because, and I mentioned this I think on the episode, was that they were sort of in like a darken when he's talking to Leia. I was like, oh, it's the shadow.
The first time I saw the movie, I didn't notice that his hair was darker.
But then when he came out, I still noticed it, but I was so into like, this scene is awesome.
See, that's
that I just kind of like disbelief, like,
see, I was like
so
in between.
I was so mad that I didn't catch it.
I was in between Hannah and our friend Leah, and Leah noticed that he wasn't making footprints. Mm. I noticed that I was like, okay, either that bitch like went to a salon and did his hair, or he's like not there. And then Hannah was just like, Luke. So it's like the three of like Leah and I are sitting there like, something's up, and Hannah goes, I don't care, it's Luke Skywalker. And we were like, oh, okay.
My like second favorite Star Wars character of all time.
Who's your first?
Sad old Ben Kenobi.
She loves
you like
Ben.
Guys who run away.
Well, I like his, yeah, I guess. If you want to loop it up. But like Ben Kenobi is like the saddest dude in the world whose entire life has been misery and pain and is just like the best and I love him. Who's just like, I fell in love one time and it killed the galaxy, so bye! Totally respect that. And also Luke Skywalker, like a beautiful sunshine boy who became a religious zealot and then peaced out. I love him!
So, I think that the big thing that we need to talk about, among many, many things about Firewall, is Harrison Ford, computer geek.
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't
make any sense. It's like they shoehorned him into sort of, this is the new thing, Harrison, computers and the internet. And
it was 2006. It wasn't new.
No, of course it wasn't.
It was like, Y2K happened.
Well, it takes time for movies to catch up to what's hot.
Exactly.
So they were like, oh, right, hacking.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That was, I think, the big thing, too. And it was this idea like, oh, we're not safe anymore. Because around the 2000s, you had a lot of that sort of like security cyber movies.
Yeah.
This is just a little bit late.
Yes, I would say it's late.
Yeah. That's why it's like old man Harrison Ford is suddenly a computer geek. I'm like, okay.
I didn't believe it for one Second,
he doesn't look like he knows how to type on a keyboard, and not even like he used a typewriter and he has a hard time. It's like he's never typed anything in his life.
If he was just the head of security, I would have believed it and maybe had some passcodes. But the fact that they make him like, no, he created this and he knows all these things. It was so, and maybe it was because he didn't believe it because he didn't understand a lot of it.
Yeah. He says technical terms, but it sounds like he has no idea what he's saying.
No clue. I didn't believe that. I also didn't think he had chemistry with the, and I love Virginia Madsen.
Madsen,
he didn't have any chemistry with her.
I kept being like,
when was
Virginia
the last time
Wolf.
He had chemistry with a person?
Carrie Fisher in Force Awakens. But that was because they legitimately have fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's like
Annette Bening in Regarding Henry.
I loved him and young Blake Lively.
What about him and Karen Allen in the first Indiana Jones?
I think that maybe the line I might draw is at some point in the mid 90s he stopped trying, and then he's like,
"I think this is
not
when he stops trying."
Oh,
because I like Sabrina. I think he's good.
I think he's terrible in Sabrina. Aww. Also, that movie is not good.
We like that movie.
Really, guys? I like the original Sabrina, and so watching.
You can't compare.
Okay,
and that's the problem.
Yeah, but
I think.
Like,
I watched them pretty back to back.
I am like the conundrum of like Audrey is my hero, and I love Harrison Ford. So I'm like, I don't. No,
well,
I like
but he's
both,
no
but...
Humphrey Bogart.
Well, no one's Humphrey Bogart.
Like at all. He's so tiny.
Can I use Humphrey Bogart tangent for a second?
Yes, because I have a Humphrey Bogart.
Because this is what's cracked me up. So Laura McCall's son, her son with, what's his name?
Her second husband?
Second husband, yeah.
Anyway,
the second.
I don't remember.
He was on this podcast that I listened to called The Kevin Pollak Chat Show. And now I guess that she's gone. He was telling all these great stories about his mom. And it was everything that you thought Laura McCall would be like, including he said that she many times she'd be like, you know, Bogey. And he was like, he was an alcoholic. You guys yelled at each other all the time. Like this is not romantic. And she was like, well, you know, Bogey. Oh, my God.
They loved each other so much.
Yeah.
They were such weirdos.
But she was also so young, I think, that she saw it in this. But I love the fact that, I mean, I don't know their relationship as much as I know, like, Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, which is a whole other thing. But it was so funny to listen to him just, like, sort of rag on his mom for being, like, well, when Bogey.
Like, hello, second husband, but my first husband who died of cancer.
From smoking.
Yeah. Humphrey.
Someone on Twitter called me kid, and I just, like, straight up was like, the only person allowed to call me kid is Humphrey Bogart, and he's fucking dead. So no one's allowed to call me kid anymore.
I think Harrison Ford could call you kid, though, right?
No. The only line I will take is, here's looking at you, kid, and it is on a pillow on my bed. Otherwise, like,
I don't know.
That's
I think
a lie.
If Harrison
probably,
Ford was
like,
what are you doing over there, kid?
I'd be like,
you'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford is the kind of guy who says the word kid.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he said it in several movies, too.
As long as it's not, I meant it as like a condescending anyway. Like, some guy was like, oh, you're just a kid. You don't understand. I was like, oh.
Fuck you. But those are totally different uses of the word.
He's not saying kid in that way. He's saying it in the way that Harrison Ford says kid. It's like, hey, kid.
No, I'm hands down aware it was a joke. Guys, here's the quick. On Firewall.
It's Harrison Ford doing an impression of Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this movie. It could have been cliche in that maybe if he, like, committed to it, it might have worked.
No.
But
he's phoning it in really
he's
hard.
He's really phoning it in.
Meanwhile, Paul Bettany is not phoning it in.
No, well, he's
doing a great job.
He needs a career.
I feel like everyone else in this movie is, like, pretty
I think
okay.
with a different lead, this movie could have been okay.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's not well written, but it's so deeply unbelievable that Harrison Ford is like this guy. Yeah, just like
which
a younger
is mean,
guy.
But it's like
no, but it's also like he has like a 10-year-old son and like a 14-year-old daughter. Like his
and
kids
he's
are like
60.
Yeah, he's like he looks old and he acts old, and you're like, and his wife is a lot younger than he is, and you're just like,
yeah, he's sick.
If this was like if this was like Paul Bettany in the lead of this, like I wouldn't cast Paul Bettany, but like someone of that age, like early 40s,
and I would believe that Paul Bettany was a computer guy.
You know
totally.
Who I would have taken,
and in
Hannah
this movie
like
he's
this.
Playing a computer guy.
You know who I would have taken, and again I'll say Hannah would like this is
Kiefer Sutherland.
No,
I'm sorry.
Renner.
Oh, Jeremy Renner.
Renner would have been fine because he was like right at that age that it would have worked. It, like I would believe maybe it's because of. Yeah. I don't know what movie I'm thinking of. Maybe
Hawkeye.
Here's
an example, too.
Like,
does anyone in the movie Sneakers?
Yeah.
I love Sneakers so
it's
much.
It's the best.
And there are older characters in that movie who are computer people. And it's believable.
Yeah, watching Robert Redford. But the thing is, like, Robert
that's
Redford.
Why.
I was thinking but Aykroyd. Like, Aykroyd. I totally believe. Well, yeah.
Aykroyd's young in that movie.
Is he young in that movie?
He's young-ish.
Okay.
But, like, Redford's an like in his he's older in that
movie.
But
they also start that movie with him in the 60s where like he was computers were just learning, like he
but he helps develop computers.
But it's still believable.
I believe
and he also spends time being like, this is new, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, but explain this to me.
Watch Hunger Skies is the best.
I even believe Redford and fucking is
everything
it Civil
ever
because
he's the best.
Or is it Winter Soldier or Civil
Winter
War?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier. Like, I believe him in that, and he like is still kind of like
it's Robert Redford.
No.
But I think it's
we can't. We love Harrison Ford, but I'm sorry, we can't compare him to Robert Redford.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Redford always tries, and he always delivers.
Yeah.
And Harrison's like, he'll phone it in, and you can tell is the problem.
I think he sometimes admitted that.
Yeah.
You know,
I got nothing against it. You want to make some money to buy a house? I get it.
Which I think is why he's, why I personally like him in Blade Runner 2049, because it's like one weird movie as of recently that he's not like phoning that
in.
No,
here's the
thing. He's like actually acting like Rick.
We get to a point where he sort of like crests in the phoning in, and then he starts to care again. And it's been recently.
Yeah.
He's going back to things he likes and
cares
about.
Yeah, and he feels like he knows people like him in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Han was good. Like, there were moments where I'm like, you're phoning it in a little when he was playing Han. Like, he was being,
Han Solo wrote a lot of his cheats.
Yeah.
The things that he does well. So, like, it might feel like he's phoning, but that's just sort of, like, what he does really well.
Mm. But I liked him as Rick again. I thought he was so
really
good in that movie.
Like, he had a lot of emotional things to do
he's
in that
fine.
Movie.
I don't like his use in the movie, but we don't need to get into that.
Well, it's a whole other story.
It's a whole other thing. His performance is fine.
You should come on when we do that movie.
Sure.
Blade Runner 2049?
Yeah. I need to do it eventually.
Fascinating, interesting film. I'll see you in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Leia has yelled at me 4 times because she wants to come on for Age of Adeline, and every time I'm like, we're on this, she goes, I want to do Age of Adeline. And I'm like,
well, now that's your fault, Rachel. She can only blame you for that because we would have been on it by now.
I was like, ugh.
We're all going to get there.
Yeah. Or actually, no, we wouldn't have been on that until March.
We're still not ready.
Because we were supposed to do Cowboys and Aliens on January 7th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, another.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah, because it's Daniel Craig.
Uh-huh.
I was so disappointed in that movie because it was two people I found
quite attractive. She
loves. It should be better. It should be stupider. Like, they take it a little too seriously. They should just, they should, like, snakes on a plane that shit.
Yeah.
If the title of your movie is something so obvious and dumb, you just have to do it. And the reference I'm about to make is because I just watched this movie this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If your movie's title is RoboCop, and your movie is
the
not
original?
Yeah, the original.
Okay.
And if your movie is not just about a guy who's a cop and a robot, half man, half machine, all cop, then you've done something wrong. So, RoboCop. A perfect movie about a RoboCop.
I haven't seen it in so long.
It smokes. It rules. It's the best.
Dumb movies are the best.
Like, so
I don't know why. You said RoboCop
sure.
And I instantly thought of Dream Team. Have you ever seen that movie that's like Michael Keaton and he breaks a bunch of people out of like a mental health facility and they just are like on the it's like great.
I haven't seen it in so long.
Oh, my dad loves Dream Team.
I used to love a movie called The Paper.
Oh, I've never seen
it. Which I've heard does hold up. It's him. Yeah. He's like working in a paper. Yeah, Michael Keaton.
Pittsburgh born Michael Keaton.
Marissa Tomei.
Ooh.
And, not Meryl Streep, but because my brain, I'm so tired of Fatal Attraction.
Sure.
Right close.
Oh,
no, I was
Fatal,
there.
I always.
You're thinking of.
Basic Instinct and Fatal Attraction always like are like the
Fatal
same
Attraction
movie in my brain. They're very different.
Movie than Basic Instinct.
They're
listen,
both sexy thrillers.
Listen, spreading her legs.
Okay.
That's what Basic Instinct is.
All right. Oh, so
we're not
Hannah
talking about Paul Verhoeven.
Hannah has some notes. So what Hannah's notes?
Yeah. Oh boy, we can't just go through my notes because they're just kind of like the whole
random
movie.
Stuff. Why don't you read your notes over and I will talk about how there is product placement in this movie for Chrysler.
you gotta make money.
And there was a whole press release that I found about it. A Ford and a Chrysler hunt the bad guys in the new movie thriller Firewall. The Ford is actor Harrison Ford. The Chrysler is a 3000. Thanks to the product placement deal between the Chrysler Group and the film's producers, the Hemi-powered sedan appears prominently in Firewall. Ads for the 3000 include content from Warner Brothers movies, which opened last week.
Wow. Mm. I'm not going to lie. Looking over my notes, most of them are about how good Paul Bettany is and how cute Nicolaj Coster-Waldau is.
I love how you say his name because you say Nicolaj and then you pause and then you say the rest of his name.
I don't know if he is like, are we on a first name basis? You know what I mean?
You and Jamie Lannister.
I have some notes about how Paul Bettany's crew is like a bunch of like nice professionals and one absolute shitbag who ruins it for them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like if they were just professional, I think this would have been fine. I was excited
that Alan Arkin is in this movie.
Oh yeah,
he's in it for like 2 seconds.
Alan Arkin is in everything. Everywhere.
Oh my god,
I love Alan. Before he won his Oscar for Little Miss Sunshine, that
was awesome. I love Little Miss Sunshine.
I almost accidentally wrote Alan Alda. Apparently.
Everyone always tells me, or when I was. When that movie came out, everyone was like, well, it's like Rachel when she was little. I'm like, aww. A chubby little girl with glasses who wanted to be on stage? Thanks, guys. Thanks, well, mom's friends.
Oh, I found my information. Oh, so Paul Bettany is replacing Michael K. Williams in the untitled Han Solo film.
Oh.
Who's that? Wait, who's Michael K. Williams?
From The Wire. You'd
recognize him. He's awesome.
Yeah. He's got the face.
Yeah. And if anyone doesn't know Virginia Madsen, who plays the wife, Beth, she was in Dune. She was in Sideways. Sideways was kind of like her big thing. I sat next to her at the theater once.
Thrilling.
That's about
the
it.
The theater.
Yeah.
We've all had fun experiences at the theater.
The theater.
Okay.
Can
we talk about this cookie scene?
Yes, please. Okay.
Yes. I feel like that's the only scene we're going to talk about in this movie.
It's the best scene in the movie. It's the best scene in the movie.
Oh, no, I think the end is the best scene because it's so bad. But go ahead.
I would also love to talk about the end.
Yeah.
But midway through the movie, Paul Bettany has kidnapped Harrison Ford's family. And they've all, like, developed this, like, look, we're not going to hurt you if you just behave. Everything's fine. We're cool kidnappers, you know? Like, we're nice. We all wear gloves all the time, but we're very nice. And, like, Paul Bettany sits down with the son to, like, watch TV. And is being, like, very friendly. And he's, like, eating a package of cookies.
They're bonding.
And they're bonding. And this boy is like, well, this guy seems nice. And my dad is really distant. But this guy pays attention to me because... This movie is also about, like, healing your family. And Paul Bettany is like, oh, would you like a cookie? And the little boy is like, do they have peanut butter in them? I'm allergic. I can't have that. Which they have established as, like, a serious issue this kid has. And Paul Bettany, like, looks at the package and, like, reads it very carefully and goes, no, you're fine. And, like, the kid's like, are you sure? And he's like, I promise. And then, like, hard cut to this kid having, like, a horrible allergic reaction. And it's, like, ice cold. And Paul Bettany, like, underplays it so beautifully. And it's really ominous and really like, oh, no, we know that he's going to hurt this kid. Because I think that Harrison Ford had done something bad, like, right before that.
Was it the pen thing?
Yeah, yeah, it might be the pen thing.
Yeah.
And Paul Bettany's like, you're going to be so sorry for that. And then he does this, like, really, like, tenderly, like, oh, no, it's going to be fine. It's totally fine. Or is it? It's so good. It's so good. He's really good. It's a great little scene between, like, this kid and Paul Bettany delivering, like, a pleasant, naturalistic performance. I don't know.
Between his child and Paul Bettany.
He doesn't have his real accent in this, right? He's doing the American accent?
He does the American accent for the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie, and then he drops it and is like, just kidding, I'm a villain.
Oh, that's right!
Which is cool.
I completely forgot that, because yeah. I thought that was a really... I love when that happens. I also... like.
It's so fun.
I like also the meta thing of sometimes when they play, like, if Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver played con artists in The Riches, and then they did a con where they did British accents.
That's so funny.
Americans, and I was like, ha-ha.
That's your real voice. I like that too. It's those sorts of things really tickle
voice.
Me.
Why are you looking
at me? You gave me the weirdest look, Rachel.
I look over and Lauren's looking at me like she has like her head on her hands and is like just smiling at me.
I was just thinking about how pleasant Paul Bettany is.
Yes, that's pretty much it. And I am so enjoying what you're doing here on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I missed you. I have one more line delivery I think is really good.
Okay.
Don't stop it. Oh my god.
I like
Rachel
fire.
Is playing with fire. And I don't mean that as a
I know
metaphor.
I took your phone away, but you need to contain yourself.
Oh god, okay. She can't get her text message.
So there's a no. She's going to have
that.
So
you
many.
You can take her phone away. I can do that during
Well, I did it. Maybe I don't wow. know. You have to stop checking your text on your phone.
I had to make sure I'm waiting.
I'm sorry.
For
I'm sorry. Okay.
Make sure
there's a point when, now. Like, what, the mom, I think, is like, why are you doing this to us? Why do you hate us? And Nicolaj, first name basis, Nicolaj, says, like, I don't hate you. I just don't care. Or I just don't care about you. He's like, I just don't care about you.
Was that when they were trying to escape the bedroom?
I think so. And I think he, like, catches them and, like, he, like, roughs them up just a little. And she's like, why do you hate us? And he's like, I don't hate you. I just don't care about you. And, like, walks away. And he's, like, such a professional. I love him. He's very handsome in this movie.
He's always handsome. It's just weird when he's fucking his sister.
Yeah. But wait, also what? In Game of Thrones.
In Game of Thrones, Cersei Lannister and Jamie Lannister are twins.
I do know that.
Fuck.
Okay, but before that, he made two movies with Paul Bettany where the two of them were best friends. This and Wimbledon.
Are they best friends in real
Wimbledon.
Life? I don't know. Wimbledon. But my impression is that they liked working with each other enough that somebody was like, oh, call my friend Nicolaj.
Do you think Nicolaj then is going to come into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I would be delighted. Also, he's so handsome. Like, if God
he would fit.
If Gods Marvel of Cinematic Egypt had had a sequel, Paul Bettany would have been in that, I think. Ouch. Yeah. Okay.
This movie, whatever.
Like, skimming through my notes, I'm like, blah, 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 handsome Nicolaj, blah, blah, blah. Harrison Bettany bursts into his secretary's apartment like it's so scary. He's so scary. Blah, 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 he's so bad at running. Blah, 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 what a dated movie. Blah, 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 quote, change of plans, asshole, end quote. Don't know what that's in reference to.
I know I usually like to save the reviews for the end, but the bad at running thing reminds me of this review from the Washington Post, which is the only one I have because it's so funny. Okay. I feel like if Harrison Ford only listened to this episode, he'd think that we hate him.
You're fine.
I think he probably understands his performance in this film.
Okay.
It's not good.
We love you, Harrison. Okay. Unfortunately, as Firewall shows, Ford's brand of resolute action hero has become obsolete, at least for him. Although the actor appears to be in great shape for someone turning 64 in July.
Still old.
Yeah.
I said.
No, you were pretty good.
You did good.
The job description calls for vigor, and he looked physically challenged as early as 1994 when he played the espionage warrior in Clear and Present Danger.
Oof. Harsh.
Jack Ryan, there's one.
By the time, by the time.
Jack Reacher.
No.
Well, I know. No, you're correct. Yeah. It's Jack Ryan, but another American Jack. Yeah, Jack Ryan. Jack Reacher. Sorry. You're right.
You were just going back on our Jack. I had another Jack Benjamin.
Here's the part about a
lot
the money.
Of Jacks. Yeah.
That's not really American. Okay, anyways.
By the time Hollywood Homicide rolled around in 2003, he was huffing and puffing as he chased after speeding cars. In Firewall, he seems way past his due date.
Ooh. I mean.
So cutting.
They're not wrong?
No, they're not. But I thought this is the one review I have to bring.
That's good. Okay. Meanwhile, Paul Bettany is like running around in the desert, like looking tired and raggedy because he's like a tech dork criminal. He's not like a physical criminal. But like he still looks like a person who is capable of movement.
Is this before A Beautiful Mind or after?
Beautiful Mind was like 2003.
Okay, yeah. So it's after. It would make sense because I feel like that's where America started to know him and he started being castable more in the U.S.
Yeah, and he's in A Knight's Tale.
Oh, yes.
He's Ledge's best friend.
He's Chaucer. He mad good in that film. Yeah, he's good. Anyway, you want to talk about the end of the movie?
Let's talk about the end of the movie,
After they use Wi-Fi on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere for a while.
Yeah.
This movie's cuckoo.
With, again, the computer of the, I'm hip, look at my outfits and look at the stickers on my computer.
Hack, you know me from TV's 24.
Yeah, it was 2006.
Yeah, she had already been on like two seasons of 24.
Oh, 24 started in like 2004.
Oh, that makes total sense then.
2002.
She was kind of a computer person in that, right?
Yeah.
She's at the head. So she's
Jack Bauer's like assistant.
Because it's
like computer.
Yeah, I cannot wait to find
like
out
like
and
the
let
same
you know.
Person.
Yeah.
I don't even watch 24 and I was like, she's the same
she's
person.
She's basically like, okay.
Not necessarily.
She's
acting,
like in Spider-Man Homecoming. You know how he wants to be the guy in the chair? Like, Peter Parker's best friend's like, I want to be that guy in the chair. That's her. She
That's
is
her
the guy in the chair.
Like, and they're playing off that in this movie. Yeah. Like, she's clearly like, oh, she's good at it on 24. She'll be good
she's
at it
like
here.
She's like, I know how to do this. Let me hack into the mainframe. Is like what
I find
does.
Her very stiff in this movie and,
that's,
like,
well,
unbelievable.
I think that's her fault.
Get prepared for 24 because it's kind of the same performance.
Oh, I thought that's what she was known for.
But it's the same thing. She's like, yeah. Like, she's like very, like, I don't want to in everything she does. She's
having
a good, it's good.
Having
it's hard
only
to
watched,
do one thing, even if you do, you know, you do
And
well.
It's hard to do it sitting behind a desk on the phone with someone. And
yeah,
so much of 24 is being on the
that's,
phone.
That's
and then
it
goes, boom, 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 boom.
I've seen 24, I think.
Oh, my last note, my very last note, speaking of Harrison acting.
Okay.
Says, Harrison crying to see his family safe is maybe the only acting he does in this movie.
Really? I thought that was actually not so great either.
Oh my God. Well, we did. I don't know. These notes are from months ago.
Hot take. It's going to end up, it's a ways down the road, but I think his best look, and I don't know why I thought about this just now, but his best look in the 2000s is probably Age of Adeline, where he has that goatee
oh my God,
and those little
like
clear glasses. he looks.
I wanted the whole movie just to be about him.
What if he? Here's the thing, though. If he looked like that in this movie, I'd maybe believe that he was a computer nerd. Because he would like look like that older guy who's like, no, I got really into technology, man. I'm like, cool with this. But instead, he's like,
this is the time when they like, he has to be Harrison Ford. He can't have a beard. I mean, there's so many times where they would buff him on that stuff. Like with The Fugitive. And it's like, well, as long as it's like shaved like for halfway through or like it.
But yeah, we're still trying to pretend that we're all still watching Air Force One. Yeah. And we're not.
Well, we get to, say it again, because I always say it wrong. Age of...
Adeline.
Adeline. I always say Adeline. Age of Adeline. He knows that he needs to start doing some supporting stuff to keep up his career.
Well, before that was...
So they didn't care if you had a beard or a goatee.
Before that was 42, wasn't it? Wasn't it 42 before
he was a supporting character in that, too.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, he, like, that's... 42 was, like, the first movie that I remember he was, like...
A career transition takes time, my dear.
And that's the only thing that I'm disappointed about, that he's now doing this, you know, Harrison Ford,
revival.
It's not gonna work.
It's not. But...
He's gonna make some money, but it's not gonna work.
What, Indiana Jones 5?
Yeah, that's a mistake.
It's a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna die on that set.
Oh, God.
I don't want it. He'll either break every bone in his body, or he will have a heart attack and die.
But pretty much it was Cowboys and Aliens. You know, the fact that he didn't do so well, because then he does 42, then he does Paranoia, and he does, which is like an ensemble piece, I believe. I haven't seen it. Ender's Game, Anchorman, Expendables. He starts realizing he needs to be a supporting part. And then as Force Awakens, it really made him go, oh, I think I have an idea.
Oh, this is what people like me doing. What if I revisited all my favorite characters?
So I'm sort of disappointed because I feel like he was about to become sort of the character actor that he always dreamed he wanted to be.
Mm. He sort of passed through dad Harrison Ford playing these sort of action dads, which is only Liam Neeson's job. It just, like, the time wasn't right when Harrison was doing it. And then moved into, like, granddad Harrison Ford, who we like a lot. Like, wearing sweaters and glasses and being like, oh, who, me? Gosh. I don't know.
Age was of that one. Where he, his... son falls in love with his ex. It's a weird movie.
Well, then she gets struck by lightning again and gets to live a life.
Yeah. Right? After that guy who looks like Harrison Ford and does an impersonation of Harrison Ford plays. That movie is weird.
I like movies like that. And it wasn't a great movie, but the idea of, you know, seeing your love again and they have an age, like the emotional stuff and that. I wanted the movie to be about the two of them. That was fascinating.
If you want that, there's a great movie.
Oh, what is it?
It's called Tuck Everlasting. It's literally the plot of that whole story.
I mean, it's also like Peter Pan is about that.
Winnie falls in love
like
with Winnie, right?
But yeah, because her name's Winifred,
and she falls in love with Tuck.
True.
I love that part. I like the second half of that movie better.
I love Tuck Everlasting.
Everybody loves Peter Pan, too, where Wendy's like, oh, Peter, you're still the same. I have a daughter. She's going to go with you now. Great. Bye.
I also love Hook.
I grew up because I'm not crazy.
Or I like Hook, where Peter's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go be a person and have some kids. No. Oh,
I mean, there's also Peter Pan too. Yeah.
Hook is different because Hook, Peter comes
and grows up.
But there, and then has to go back to Neverland as an adult.
But he marries her granddaughter. He marries her granddaughter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he decides to grow up, Wendy is old.
I wanted it to be just about that. I liked it better than the Neverland part. Sorry. I'm very worried
I keep hitting Hannah on the ass with my books.
I haven't noticed.
Anything else that we have not talked about in this movie that we want to talk about?
What's to talk about?
It's bad.
But I used to watch it a lot.
We'll talk about that. Talk about how you used to watch it.
Well, I honestly think that I used to watch it, but I fast forwarded to the Paul Bettany scenes, so I only got all of the like good acting from Paul Bettany and like Virginia Madsen and like the stuff that takes place in their family home, which is like a lot of like gentle threats and like, I would never hurt you, like back of hand touching face stuff. Like, it's creepy and it's bad.
I didn't like that at all.
Exactly. That's what makes it good storytelling. But I think I watched those scenes and then I would watch the end because And I forgot it when I watched it this time, but watching Paul Bettany get, like, killed with a pickaxe is crazy.
It's pretty brutal.
It's really brutal.
Get killed again.
Don't say that.
Vision is gonna die.
Shut up. I don't care. Don't tell me these things. Just let me enjoy my life, okay? But yeah, I think I would just watch the Paul Bettany scenes and then the end. And so all the stuff about that movie that is actively terrible just didn't touch me. And so I had it on DVD. And I popped it in a lot. I'd like to think so. My taste is a mixed bag, but...
Are all.
Yeah. Well...
Hannah, did you just watch La Bamba?
Excuse you!
I love La Bamba.
La Bamba is a great movie.
Excuse you!
I love La Bamba. hey, A, I was making fun of Hannah because I like La Bamba.
It's a great movie, and I have good taste, and Lou Diamond Phillips can get it.
Yes, he can.
He's so... I can't believe that's, like, his introducing Lou Diamond Phillips movie.
Mm. La Bamba? Because,
like, yeah, he's so good, and he's just, like, emerges, like, well, perfectly
La Bamba
fully
came
formed.
Out right near... oh, my God, what is the other one? There's, like, another one...
About the Big Bopper and... Oh, the Buddy Holly story.
No. It is... The Thing You Do came out like near La Bamba. Like there was like a craze of making movies. Like
The Thing You Do is not
far after La Bamba.
The Thing You Do is like 1992.
I'm gonna give you your phone back so you can look up this one thing. That's La Bamba's 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, then no, 86,
87.
Like, I was really young when it came out.
No, if she said 86, 87, it's not that far apart from
1994. No, we've had this discussion before.
Look it up really fast and don't look anything else.
It's not. I lived that during that time. It's not that long. I mean, it's not that far.
La Bamba is like 86.
Yeah.
I think. Like
that's like the difference between me being, like, having my period and not having my period.
Big, big difference.
5 years? La Bamba. Boom. 87.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, yes. I remember 87 because I remember watching La Bamba and looking it up and then going, wow, this is the same year as The Lost Boys.
It's like
it's
9 years.
It's also a year before Dirty Dancing came out.
Never mind.
These were like the music soundtracks. Were, like,
see? Yeah,
that's
very
a
different.
That's a big difference.
Anyway, Lou Diamond is... extraordinarily good in that movie and really like just for a first leading role he's fabulous in it. And he doesn't do his own singing and you can tell but he's so committed to those performances anyway.
He listens to the actual guy, right?
I think so, yeah.
Hey,
it's great. Yeah?
Why do you like Lou Diamond Phillips?
Because he's beautiful.
Oh, why do you like Lou Diamond Phillips?
Because I watched Young Guns a lot as a kid.
And you know who was also in Young Guns?
Kiefer Sutherland. To be fair to myself, when I was watching Young Guns a lot as a young person, it was because I loved Emilio Estevez so much.
Also, on brand for Hannah, who went through a Sheen / Estevez.
Mostly Emilio. Charlie Sheen also in Young Guns. But they don't play brothers. Whenever siblings are in movies together and they don't play siblings, it's a little weird. And I like it, but I prefer it when siblings play siblings.
Well,
I think it's delightful.
That's why I like Donnie Darko. That's why I like Say Anything.
Good Will Hunting.
Because it's like, in Say Anything, John Cusack's sister. And then...
Whenever siblings like look a lot alike, I find it even weirder when they don't play.
So,
I don't know if you've seen Emilio Estevez's movie about Bobby Kennedy.
Yes.
But in that... She's laughing because that's also very on brand for me. But
it's called Bobby, right?
Right. And it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Bobby is a good, great movie. But I'm just laughing because Hannah and I, a year ago, went and got tattoos. And mine, the most on brand thing for either of us, mine is Star Wars and Hannah's is Bobby Kennedy.
Really?
Yeah, it's his last public words.
Holy shit.
And that's when I went and got Ira Bell. She got that and I got this.
Thank you. Anyway, the point is, in that movie, which Emilio directed, he is in it as a person. Mm-hmm. And Martin Sheen is in it as a different person.
Right.
And they're not playing people who are related, but they, especially as Emilio has gotten older, they look the same. Sometimes I look at pictures of young Martin Sheen and I'm like, oh, that's Emilio Estevez. And then I have to be like, no, it's not.
You sent us one. Like, we have a group chat. And she sent us one and we were all like, oh, it's Emilio. And Hannah went, nope.
I know, because I did the same thing.
Martin.
They're the
also
same.
Had very
it's crazy.
Hair.
Yeah. And they're both beautiful. And Charlie Sheen is a dirt boy,
weirdly,
and you can tell.
But it weirdly takes Emilio Estevez for me to be like, oh, that's Michael Douglas, not Martin Sheen. Because when I see Martin Sheen and Michael Douglas, like, just, like, not together, like, in a movie, I think they're the same person. I do it all the time.
Different.
It's not that they look, they played similar roles.
They hit presidents.
Yeah, and so, like, in my brain, like, when I started watching Ant-Man at first, I was like, nope, that is Michael Douglas. Like, I had to be like, no. And then I said it.
We all have those people.
And that's when Leah went, yeah,
Kirk
cancer.
Has said that he had once was watching a movie and thought it was him, and then he kind of came out of the shadows and he was like, nope, that's my son.
Weird.
My son who got mouth cancer from eating too much pussy.
Michael Douglas. Jeez Louise.
That's my favorite thing I've ever learned about Michael Douglas is that he said that and legitimately.
I mean,
meant
look
it.
At what
he's
I mean,
in. His career is insane as he's like, he made a whole career of playing the most disgusting dirtbags in the world.
Is he the American president or is that
Martin? And then he was like, what if I was a wholesome American president? And everyone was like, okay, we liked you as a dirtbag. We like you as this. That's insane. That's cuckoo.
Well, I didn't realize I did this until I like was on stage and we were talking about Martin Sheen and I said the American president and they went, no, You mean the president from The West Wing?
No,
and I went,
wait,
what?
But Martin Sheen, here's the thing, you can always get yourself, because Martin Sheen is also in that movie.
Yes, and that's what
that's called, so confusing.
Yeah. And someone goes, no, he's the vice president, right? Or no, is
no,
he
no,
the...
No, he's staff.
Yeah, but he was like, no,
he's
also
Leo. If you, because you haven't watched West Wing yet, right?
No.
You should, it's great. It starts with Rob Lowe having sex.
It does.
Which I
opening
think
scene of the show.
I mean, NBC sex, though. NBC sex.
Right, so
I can
it's like,
handle now because I couldn't handle
sheets.
It before because I don't like... Like, ill-fitting suits, like, bother me. And okay. So, the 90s is a rough time.
This is my Alice and Janney moment. Be silent. Now that you know the greatness of Alice and Janney.
I knew about the greatness of Alice and Janney.
But you tweet about her a lot more now. And she will win an Oscar this year. So you need to watch the goddamn West Wing and learn about C.J. Craig.
I know.
Learn about C.J. Craig.
Okay, hold
also,
on.
If you want to watch the West Wing, I'll watch some of it with you.
I'm busy, but I'd
love to revisit.
Parts of the West Wing. I was alive in the 90s.
You need to watch it in order. It is the that kind of show.
And it's honestly
the podcast well, about it.
So heartwarming and lovely. And Rob Lowe is in like four or five seasons
get
of it.
Fox, he's in four. I gotta get through Fox Mulder's Big Suits.
Sure.
And then I am currently watching the X-Men.
Listen, I respect. The 90s for tailoring was not great.
That's
different
why I
time.
Said I'm
not
starting to come around because I like... Well, I'm watching the X-Files and their suits aren't great, but I can get through it.
Yeah.
So then I watch The West Wing.
Thank God we're in a better time now for suits.
I don't know if you've read Rob Lowe's book.
Oh,
or
I've heard about
it. He's written quite a few books at this point.
Yes.
But the first one, because like him leaving The West Wing was like a big scandal because it was like, he was like, I thought I was supposed to be the star of the show and I need a raise that is equivalent to the raise all of my co-stars are getting because they all were getting paid dirt and he was getting paid a
they
real
all
salary.
Had Emmy nominations.
Right. And he was like, this is messed up, I'm out. And the way he presents it in his book is so like, I love being on that show, I never would have left, but you know how it is, like you have to put a foot down eventually about what you and your agent think you deserve and what's right.
That
and he spins it so well.
He does
it's
all
a really
he's very good at that.
It's a very impressive book in that way.
Time.
Also, another anecdote about his fun book. He talks about that thing where he got caught with underage girls when he was like 20 or whatever.
Yeah, the video.
And he basically, in the book, is like, he glosses over it so remarkably. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't say like, we all remember when I got caught with underage girls.
Yeah.
He talks about like, you know, we're going out a lot, you meet girls, they tell you how old they are and you believe them. And then we're all high on coke and stuff, so, and drinking, we're all drinking nonstop, and you make mistakes. And he glosses over it. And then I literally read the chapter and was like, wait a second, that was him talking about this illegal thing that happened. Because he just like so spun it so perfectly, so effortlessly.
He's charming.
Makes it seem so like, what a mistake, had I but known. And I think he genuinely feels that way. But
oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't think he's a dirtbag. I think he didn't know how old those girls were. But like, he just did it in a way that he was like, we all know what happened, and also it's okay. Like, he doesn't have to say what it is. He's just like, you're my friends, you know.
I'm so
it's
mad.
Cool. It's
I'm
really
so
quite.
Mad. I've heard
well
people,
done.
Several people ask me, they like, you should read it.
It's
was a West Wing fan.
It's like an easy read, and he's really. Like a good, it's like a good beach read or like an airplane book.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like really easy and fun, and he's like a fun person to spend a few hours with, you
hey,
know?
Nice plug for...
for Rob Lowe's book, Stories I Only Tell My Friends, I think is the
Speaking
title
of
that first book.
Do the two of you want to talk about your podcast and why people should listen?
Oh, well, if you like our banter, which I feel like I've talked too much on this, I'm so sorry.
No, we want someone come on and like bring some new life into the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Rachel and I talk about hot dudes and their bodies of work.
And
it's mostly
it?
hard bodies.
It's mostly just like movies. We mostly just talk about movies that these dudes are in and their filmographies. But I think we have a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not like grossly objectifying because I think it's yucky to be that way.
I mean,
but we do sometimes.
We decided when we were talking about Sebastian Stan to pick I, Tanya, which
well,
is
it had just
arguably,
come out.
But arguably not his most attractive look.
I mean, he rarely takes his shirt off. But when people take their shirts off, we're going to talk about
playing
it.
Playing a wife beater, so.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
Know.
So that's
we,
not attractive
that's
either.
We chose rather than, I don't know, any other movie that he's ever done.
Yeah, I wish he took his shirt off more in more movies.
There's one movie where he's shirtless the whole time. I don't know what it is, and I want to find it.
Okay, well, cool. Yeah, so we just kind of like pick people and we talk about them and it's fun.
Is anyone coming up that we can plug? What are you guys doing?
Oh my gosh, we don't plan ahead.
No, but not this coming week, but we have like 2 weeks. for two episodes planned.
We're going to do Chadwick Boseman for Black Panther comes out.
Nice.
Because he hot as hell.
And then we're going to do Michael B. Jordan.
Who is also Creed literally on fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we should do Fantastic Four where he is literally on fire. But just kidding. I never want to watch that movie. We'll watch Creed.
Does that even have to do what, Miles Teller?
No, it sounds like an incomprehensible piece of garbage. So not into it. Not going to watch it. Doing that, may I plug something personal?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I know exactly what she's going to plug.
I have one other thing in my life. Let me have it. This year, I have set myself a project to watch every Joel Schumacher movie.
Ooh.
And I am writing a little something about everyone, and I
like
don't.
A blog or
yeah, like a blog, like a blog essay thingy. I don't really know. I'm not trained as a critic, and I don't know how to write critical essays. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know, writing what I feel and a little bit of thoughts and trying to.
Are you posting it like as you're doing it? You're gonna
yeah,
it
I'm posting it as I'm doing it, so it'll be over the course of the year, and you can find that at Hannah-Bleckman, B as in boy, LECHMAN.com. And also, when I was a kid, I watched Batman and Robin like 24/7. Like, I fucking loved that movie, which I know it's bad. Okay, I get it. And I decided, like, there must be something here that I like, and I think it's the direction. I think it's the Joel Schumacher touch. Cool. I think it's the colors and the extravagance and the sort of heightened world that he lives in those 80s movies and in Batman and Robin. So I was like, might as well do something to keep me busy, and I'm interested, and I was going to watch them anyway, so I might as well write something about them.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
I feel like we've now run out of time to talk about Kenneth Branagh, though.
Lie to My Life, Best Boy in the World.
Well, not the best boy.
Murder on the Orient Express 2. Can't wait. Sorry, Death on the Nile is what that movie's going to be. I'm thrilled. It's my favorite Agatha Christie.
Is it really going to happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. They announced it.
I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Although everyone told me, they were like, if you like Kenneth Branagh, you'll love this movie. And I was like,
that's
then
what
I will love
is.
This movie.
That's what we said coming
Kenneth
out of
Branagh.
That movie.
Yeah, if you like what he's laying
was
down,
that they told me that, though?
Yeah. Then you'll like it.
Because we saw it, like, opening night. We
okay.
Yeah.
Opening.
It started, and I was like, I love it! And that I had this huge grin on my face the entire movie. It ended, and I was like, that's the best movie I've ever seen.
It was just, like, them aggressively killing Johnny. We were all like, this is beautiful. Like, yeah. Just right.
The movie ends and they're like, well, there's a death on the Nile. And I went, oh, yes! Like, I can't wait. I'm thrilled. He's the best.
I'm curious though, do you have like a favorite Kenneth Branagh movie? Like, what is your favorite?
Oh, Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the best Shakespeare adaptation. He's so playful and delightful.
You still have a huge poster of it on my wall.
I have a framed poster on my wall. I love that film.
Although that's tied with Dead Again with me.
Oh my god, I love Dead Again.
Dead Again is so underrated.
He's so skinny in that movie.
He is, and his accent is not so great.
No, but the performance is so good.
And on that note,
that's Firewall.
You can follow Hannah on Twitter at HSBlackman.
Oh yeah, that's
And you can find Rachel at
At Rachel Leishman. We did it.
Uh-huh. I thought there was an underscore, but that's on Instagram. Oh, whatever. It's Rachel Leishman. Follow me at Rachel Leishman. And you can follow Lauren on Twitter at
Lauren Milberger. And I'm contemplating kind of joining Instagram, but I'm thinking about it.
It's fun.
I'm on I'm there, but I don't ever post anything. But I think that I might, because I have another podcast now and there's really exciting news. So if anyone watches Murphy Brown or would like to watch Murphy Brown or...
Hey, they're rebooting it.
Yes, they are. So we're getting a lot of attention. We are at Murphy Brown Pod everywhere.
Guys, we did it. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming on. It was so cool.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
Oh, and the forecast. Guys, we did it.
You can also find us at The Forecast PC on Twitter and The Forecast Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr.
Dope.
Right. Don't watch Firewall.
No, don't watch it. Just listen to this, and then we gotta go because Rachel's got stuff to do. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. F-O-R-N-D-O-U.